I want to teach you a little chorus, all right? I'm going to teach you a little chorus, all right? I want you to sing it with me, all right? If you know it, I want you to sing it with me. If you don't know it, we sang this when I was in Bible college, and I love it. I love him, I love him, because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Who's never heard that before? Wow. Wow. Let's sing it together. All right, here we go. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Stand with me. Let's sing it one more time. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. It just has a sweet melody when you sing it in a big crowd like this. Take your Bibles, if you would, Matthew chapter 22. And I want to thank the staff here for having me. I have connections to the school. I got a wife from here, and it's a good thing. She graduated in 1988. Woo! That's a long time ago. And so thankful for my wife. And I have a grandchild on the way. And so she couldn't come today. So one on the way. So that's going to be number 8, I believe, of grandchildren. I have 6 children. I have one child that's here, Brandon Hempfill. I can see him back there. Brandon's my son. And the Fabians are here. The Fabians are, you didn't stand. They told you to stand. You didn't, weren't obedient. You didn't listen. And the Fabians are here. Julio, Susanna, and we got Jeremiah and Josiah are here. And these two young men, they're up and comers. And Lita and Sadi, of course, are from our church. We thank the Lord for them. And they're a blessing. And thank the Lord for the preacher, Pastor Wilkerson, such a statesman, and love him very much. He's been very good to me. And Matthew chapter 22, verse number 34, go down to this verse here, and I'm going to preach a message, and this is kind of a message kind of building going into the summertime and this time of year, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Look at it says, verse number 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that they had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, here it is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And I want to preach a message to you this morning on I love you more, Lord. Now, this is not a comparison message, and we're not talking about you loving somebody more than another person. This is more about your content of your love and where it's directed. And you're going to love the Lord more, or you're going to love everything else more. One or the other. I mean, there's no in-between. Can't have two masters, the Bible says. And so I'm going to preach on this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I praise you and thank you for your goodness. I pray that you'd please work in the student body today. I know that it's getting to the end. It's warmer out. It's hard to pay attention. It's those things. But I pray for just a few moments now that you would help their hearts and lives to be open to your word. And please speak to them. And I believe that you have something for each one of them here today. And I pray that they'd be receptive to that. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus is here, is being tempted here, and we know that God cannot be tempted, and it's foolish men that we are to think that we can do that. But in his response, it's the intriguing part to me is his response, and it's the core of what my message is today. If Jesus said that loving him was the greatest commandment, I suppose that we should look at that, shouldn't we? We often think about the things that we shouldn't do, right? The thou shalt not, and we tend to focus on those, right? And that's a good thing. You need to make sure that there's some things you shouldn't do. But the problem is that we get into the thou shalt nots because we don't take care of the I shalls. And sins of omission become sins of commission. And if you don't take care of those things in your life, you're going to wreck your life, first of all, and you're going to wreck others' lives if you aren't serious about the things that God has for you. And so much of what we do, you think about it, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. So failure to love the Lord thy God is the greatest breaking of any commandment. I know we have a tendency, humanly speaking, to think of, well, I didn't murder someone, I didn't steal something, and so I'm not that bad of a person. Well, if you don't love the Lord your God like you should, that's worse than all of the other things, because it's the greatest commandment. And so it's very important that we do. We better look and we better understand about some things about loving the Lord our God. And I want to look at someone who failed in a big way, but he learned to what it means to say, I love you more, Lord. I love you more. And so we're going to shift our attention to this disciple, and I'm sure you may even have an idea who he is, but he exemplifies someone who really loved the Lord. And he may have showed it in some strange ways sometimes. Peter had a different way of approach to things, but we nonetheless respect him because of what he did and how the Lord used him. So go with me to John chapter number 21. We're going to look at several different passages here, so we'll get your Bible turning quick here. But John chapter 21, I'm not here to give you a Greek lesson. I barely know the English language, and so I'm not about to give you. I have 2 years of Greek. Anybody finishing up Greek or in Greek? Oh, bless your soul. But tous legus and all the different thing, and I'm not here to give you a Greek lesson, all right? But I am going to reference some words here that it's important for us, and you may have heard them before. John chapter 21, look at verse number 15. The Bible says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's an incredible phrase right there. Lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more? And, your love for God should pale. I mean, anything else should pale. As a matter of fact, God even uses the word hate as the comparison of love for him compared to anything else. Now, he doesn't say you're to hate your wife or to hate your children, but he said that the love, the difference in that love should be vast. My wife, I'll tell you this, my wife wants me to love her or to love the Lord Jesus way more than I love her, because she knows if I love him like I'm supposed to love him, I'm gonna love her like I'm supposed to love her. I can't properly love her if I love her more. I can't properly love my children if I love them more. I can't properly love my grandchildren if I love them more than him. It's so important. So he says, lovest thou me more than these? Listen to what he goes on to say. He saith unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now, these two words, again, I told you I don't want to give you too long of a Greek lesson here, but these are different words. The word love was a little bit the way that they translated this word, and they did it perfectly. I'll just tell you that. King James is perfect. No need to ever correct it. And those that choose to correct it, they're foolish in their logistics. You know, these guys were, if we say we're a scholar, we're a fool, and in this sense. But the word here, love, is Jesus asks, do you love me with all of your heart? And Peter's response was, yeah, Lord, I love you with my head. I have a head knowledge. I have a head love of you. You know that I, and he doesn't directly answer his question. That's another interesting thing, is he doesn't directly answer a question. Some of you are good at that. You know, someone will ask you a question, and you don't directly answer it. You have a way of asking a question to a question that's asked to you. And you gotta be careful about that. Jesus was prone to ask questions. And and here's what he says. He asked him this question, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me with your heart, Peter? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, with his head again. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? he asked him the phileo love. He asked him the third time, he asked him to use the same word Peter's been using. And Peter was grieved. You know, that's a shame that we get grieved with the Lord. But Peter got grieved with the Lord because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So if we could use comparison, the Bible's full of contrast and comparison all throughout it. When Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He's seen Peter, do you love me with your whole heart? Do you have a heart love for me? You know, what he wants to know is your love so much more than it is for any of these other things that are in this world? And you're going to be faced, listen, and I'll get to the core of this in my message, but you're going to be faced with things all throughout summer. And you're going to have to decide what you love more. You're going to decide. You will decide. I'm not going to say the decisions will be there. You're going to have to face them. Peter's reply is telling. He responds by saying, thou knowest that I love thee. Again, like what I was telling you, this head love and what he was doing. He was simply not to the place that the Lord wanted him to be. That's why he's asking the question over and over again. When someone asks you a question and they have to repeat the question, you're either not getting what the question is and you need to listen more intently, or there's some kind of disconnect there. You need to find out why there's a disconnect to correct that. Always have an understanding, especially if some of you are going to graduate, you're going to go work for someone. You better understand what is expected of you. And if you don't know what's expected of you, you need to come and ask that question, not to wander off and wander aimlessly. It's only going to hurt you. So Peter is not to the place, but did Peter change? Yes, we know he did. We know his life changed. We know that he changed in a big way. We know that he was used to preach Pentecost and 3,000 people were saved and he preached boldly. And even though he denied the Lord and wept bitterly, he was used of God. And he got to a place where he did love the Lord more than these. He got it from here to here. And we know that salvation takes to come from here to here. We know that that has to happen. A lot of people have a head knowledge. They have religiosity in their brains, but they've never applied it to their hearts. Thank God for a school that goes out into the Chicago area and reaches people with the gospel and gives them information here so they can bring it to here. One of God's greatest works is dragging stuff from here to here. That's the Holy Spirit does that. You don't do that. Only God does that. God does all the dragging from here to here. Your job is just to give them the information so that the Holy Spirit can drag it to the right spot and allow him to do the work. And it's so important. So Peter, he comes to that place. He does come to the place where he says that I love you more, and that's a wonderful place to be. There's no doubt that it will conquer the problem of doubt and fear and anxiety. If you have that, when you learn to love the Lord God more than these, it conquers those things. It will give you victory over sin. It will fix broken relationships. It will compel us to service, to separation, to sanctification in our lives. That's what saying, I love you more, does in your life. But how did he get there? See, it's one thing to see what the destination is, but it's another thing to arrive there. I've said oftentimes, when we were driving here, I said, good old Chicago construction. Always on target. There's always construction going. We don't like construction too much. I was coming down here. We got down and they closed off one of the lanes. We went around and came around in the back way. We don't like when things get cut off. We don't like when we get slowed down. We don't like that. But you know what we do like? We like nice roads, don't we? We all like to drive in a road where we don't have hit a pothole and blow out your tire and fall. Your whole entire car falls to China. You know, we don't like that. But do you understand in order to get there, you have to have construction? You have to have those things in order to have the smooth roads? And oftentimes what we want is we want everything to be smooth sailings, but we're not willing to go through some of the construction. And it's very important that we allow God to do that in our lives. So now I want you to go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter. We're going to look at 1 Peter. We're going to look at this. This takes us to the end portion of Peter's life. Peter's already preached Pentecost. I mean, he's been involved. He's got a mission here. the theme of 1st and 2nd Peter is to strengthen the brethren. That's what he ends up doing. And it's important to understand that because Peter is such an impetuous person. He was always diving headfirst into everything. He didn't mess around. I mean, he was always wanted to be in the center of things. But now Peter's given the task of one day, Peter, you're going to strengthen the brethren, and how important it is. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want you to look at the first verse, and I want you to see a few things that it says here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, that now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse number 8 says, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We get our wonderful song with that. Verse number 8 shows us this word love again. It's interesting to note, when I was studying through these passages, I was studying the word love, and there was a great change that was, and it's interesting that this note, that remember when I was talking about back in John, how it says that he loved with the phileo love. Phileo is where we get our word Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Agape, it was the word that Jesus was using, which is a heart deep love, where phileo was a brotherly love. It's interesting to note that the word phileo is never used in 1st and 2nd Peter. Never. Only agape love. And that's just an interesting little side note to know that he got it. Along the line, it was no longer that his love, when he would express and speak about love, that it was this brotherly love anymore. It was only this agape love. That's what brought me. That's what helped me to bring this message. So his opening statement begins by the Holy Spirit's inspiration to describe this love that Jesus desired, and it only comes from the Lord Jesus. Do you know that love is not something that we conjure or bring up? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Always note this, the fruit of the Spirit is not your fruit. It's the Holy Spirit's. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. We always say, well, I want, Lord, give me so I could have, I could manifest love and I could do this. No. They're not yours. You can't even do that. All you can do is yield to the Holy Spirit. And when there's less of you, there's more of him. He must increase, I must decrease. And when I'm decreased, all those things can come forth. They can be manifest because of greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And because he's in you, those things, and when there's less of you darkening and muddying up what he wants to do, how he wants your life to be, it's the old case of the refiner. And as that refiner will take the gold, and he will take that gold and he'll heat it up. And we don't like to be heated up. You know what heated up is trials, tests. We don't like that. And maybe you're going through one right now. It might be a financial trial. You might be going through a health trial. You might be going through a relationship trial. And you don't like that. And no one ever prays. I remember one time I preached about this, and somebody comes after me and they said, preacher, you really want us to pray for trials? I was like, no, you missed it. I wasn't saying praying for trials. They're just going to come. Trials are going to come. Tests are going to come, but they have a purpose. And if you can identify and you can understand that God's trying to do something in your life, just like that refiner, as he takes that gold and he heats it up, and all of a sudden there's impurities that start to rise to the surface. And that refiner, what he does is he takes that scum and he brings it off the top. And then he heats it up again and he allows those impurities to rise. You know what that's what God's doing in your life right now? He's allowing the things in your life, and he's allowing those trials and those tests in your life to bring the scum to the surface. I hate to use a crude word, but that's the words. It's scum. That's what it is. And as it raises to the surface, he keeps continually taking it off. He's looking for what he wants, one thing. The refiner wants one thing. He wants to be able to look at that gold, and he wants to see his face in that gold. Because if he can see his face in that gold, that means he's got the impurities out. You know, that's what Jesus is doing to you right now. He's allowing that thing in your life because it's raising up the impurities. And then the Lord Jesus can swipe it away. He can take it away. Then he'll heat it up again. And we don't like the heating up process, I'm telling you. It's no fun. It never is. Job didn't exactly like or appreciate going through the whole process. But he says, when I come forth, I shall come forth as gold. Gold. That's what he wants for your life. Some of you, you know what you do? You start going through the test, you start going through the trial, and you say, forget it, I quit. And you missed it. It was right there. He was right there, right, getting ready to take it away. And he was ready, his face was ready to be seen. And you know, that's what Jesus, he wants to see. He wants to see himself in you. Because when he can see you, that means others can see you. When Nebuchadnezzar got up there and he says, wait a minute, wait a minute. I thought we threw three men into the fire, but I see four. And the one is like the Son of God. That's what he wants to see in your life. He wants to see, you know what God wants to see? He wants people to see God in your life. And when you say, I love you more, it's a refining process that takes the scum away. And that's what he's trying to do in each of our lives. So in here, he's trying to bring us to that place, and it always starts with Christ. And it's always going to manifest it that way. So first of all, I want you to say, number one, I want you to see our purpose. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 22. And I'm going to hasten. I'm going to get you through some of these things. Our purpose. What is our purpose? We have a purpose. Look at verse 22 in chapter number 1. Seeing ye have purified our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. I'm taking this word agape, love, and I'm using it to identify areas that God's trying to bring you to love more. How can you love more? You can love one another. It's talking about being kind to those that are around you. Now, the second commandment is talked about, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. We've kind of forget that little tagline on there that adds on to that. And the first Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So he uses this word, and just as heart love to God will guarantee the right service to God, so heart love for the brethren will ensure and preserve right relations with them and the due fulfillment of the duties that we have to other people. You're not commanded to love your spouse more, and you can never love them like you should until you love Christ. I already talked about it, and your children, whatever it is, you're never commanded to love them more. We somehow think if we could fix and repair all the dysfunctional relationships in our life, everything will turn out just dandy. And it won't. It doesn't work that way. See, these are horizontal relationships. All of us in here experience horizontal relationships. But you have a vertical relationship with God. And if you don't take care of the vertical relationship with God, these horizontal relationships are never going to work. If you're dysfunctional in your relationships, no need to look to your friend. It's not your friend's problem. It's not your neighbor's problem. It's not your family's problem. It's your problem with God. Somewhere along the line, there's a problem with God. You don't love him. Oh, you love him, right? But you don't. You're not really got it here. We're not talking about salvation, so don't get confused. We're not talking about being saved. We're talking about our love for God. Listen, you can be saved and be far away from God. Lot was. He didn't love God like he should, but he was a just man. And we have to remember, we could get away from them. We have to love him more. That's our purpose. But then look at our pursuits. Look at chapter 3 here and look at verse number 10. The Bible says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they may speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Life really comes down to what you're pursuing. The things, your pursuits in life. You know that every one of you is pursuing something. It might be a girlfriend, a boyfriend, I don't know what it is. Some of you, it's a degree. Some of it's a payment. Some of you, it's a job. Some of you have pursuits. You have things in your mind, and there's things that the Holy Spirit right now is saying that's what you're pursuing. Is it the right pursuit? Is it the right thing that you're pursuing in life? It comes down to pursuits. And you know what we always pursue? We pursue what we love. We pursue what we love. Psalm 34, listen to what it says. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You see, left our own devices, we pursue the wrong things. So very often we pursue what we shouldn't pursue. But when we say, I love you more, Lord, is when our pursuits have the highest objective. And you know what? It's about finding out what God wants and getting in on what God wants. Instead of stop worrying about what you desire. I've said this. When I went to Oswego, Illinois, I'd never heard of Oswego. To be honest with you, I had no affinity with Oswego. I never prayed one day for Oswego. There was no, you know what, this whole idea that some of you say, well, I can't go there, my heart's not burdened for it. Where does that come from? What Bible are you reading where it talks about that? Because Jonah didn't have a burden for Nineveh. He was just commanded to go. See, when you love the Lord God like you're supposed to love him, you'll do whatever he wants you to do, go wherever he wants to go. It has nothing to do with your burden, because who cares about your burden? It's God's burden that you want. And when I was in Bible college, I prayed. I have Danish background. I prayed, God, do you want me to go to the mission field? Do you want me to go to Denmark? There's no missionaries there. And I was praying about it. Then I was like, the Lord, do you want me to go back to Santa Barbara and start a church? I don't know why, but that was just an area that God spoke in my heart. I studied everything about Santa Barbara. I studied everything about Denmark, about going and starting a church in these areas. And you know what? God said, no. And I said, well, God, I just want to do what you want me to do. And God brought me to Oswego, and you know what? I didn't know anybody there. I didn't have no burden to go there. But you know what? God, once I did what God wanted me to do, oh, he gave me a love for the place. He gave me a love for the area, for the people. But I did it because of God, not because of them. You can't do anything for other people until you love God like you're supposed to love him. You will be sorely ineffective trying to do things for people when you don't love God like you should. Because you got it backwards. You got it all mixed up. You got to be careful what you're pursuing in life. You've got to learn to love the Lord. Again, you think about when we talk about our pursuits, how you control your tongue, how you speak no guile, how you eschew evil, put away offense. How are you going to do these things in life when you think to yourself, well, this is what I want to do. These are the things I want to accomplish. And we're never going to do that. Our pursuits will never be the way that they should be until we learn to love the Lord like we should. Then go to 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'm gonna hurry here because I want to get to the very end here, our problem. And this is something that you're all going to face, all right? All of us will face this. I'm going to face this. You're going to face this. Staff up here is going to face this. We're all going to face problems. You're going to face problems at the end of school and the going home to your ministries that you're going, and I hope you do. I hope you go home. You get busy in the ministry there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 15, look what it says. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. So how are you going to handle your problems? These are problems. Some people love their sin so much, there's no room for love for God. If it invades us, it gives no room for anything else. When that unrighteousness comes, how will you deal with it? In your own strength, in your own power? How are you going to do it? You better come to the place where you say this. Whatever you face, and you can fill in the blank. I love you more, Lord, then it doesn't matter what it is. You're going to face things, and there's going to be things that are going to be there. It's going to be, I love you more than this music. I love you more than this clothing. I love you more than this movie. I love you more than this computer screen, this phone, this social media. Social media is ruining people. Ruining people. And I know that's easy to say from a person who doesn't like social media. And I know some of you really enjoy it. You maybe have good pursuits, but I'm telling you, you better love God more than that. That's all I'm saying. You better love God more than that. You better be able to say, I can put that down, Lord, because you're first. I make it a practice in my life that the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to be in the Word of God, and I'm going to pray before I do anything else. Because I don't want anything to interfere with my time with God. And I don't want anything to jockey and jostle with that time, that time period. You're going to have to have a place. You're going to have to say, I love you more than my sin. I love you more. I love you more than my selfish desire. That's what he's asking Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself saying, what happened? What went wrong? How did I get down this path? I've got pastor friends that are no longer pastoring today because they didn't love God more. I've got friends who no longer serve in the ministry because they didn't love God more. And you're going to have to come to the spot where you're going to have to decide, God, I love you more than whatever it is that's going to face your life. And boy, I hope that'll just be, that'll ring in your ears. I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Listen, I love you more than my desires. I love you more than my goals. I love you. We tend to have such a tendency to love ourselves and sin so much that how can we love the Lord? There's no room. Our love is so full. Yes, we have, like Peter, I don't think I could ask a person in here, do you love the Lord? And you'd all would say probably yes. You wouldn't even be here if there wasn't some semblance of head love. Some of you don't know. You're like bobbleheads. You don't know what you're doing, where you're going. It's a dangerous place to be, and I understand it. As a young man, I was there. Men have a tendency to be down that avenue more than women do. Men need to have direction. They need to know what they're doing. Or they find themselves in a very hard conjuncture of life, and they need to have direction. It's very important. And you're never going to have the direction you're going to get. You're never going to have that pure direction until you love God more. You got to love him more. And church is great until, again, sometimes we think about it. You got to make church a priority because until some other great event comes along, Bible read is fine until we're too busy. Prayer is great until we're inundated with activity. Telling people about the Lord is novel until we're mocked. Giving is great when we have money. You may never stop any of those when you love the Lord more. You're not going to stop. You will do those things no matter what because you understand that you love him more. You will not be sinless, but you'll certainly sin less. When you say, Lord, I love you more than my TV show, my movie, my Facebook, my Instagram, my Twitter, my computer screen, my sports game, my phone. Say what you will, fill in the blank. By God's grace, I'm going to love you more. You can't do that on your own either. You have to have his help. And you have to come to the place and say, I love you more, Lord. It's so important for us to know that we have a love for the Lord. Do you love him more? Can you say it? Why don't you say it with me right now? I love you more, Lord. Ready? I love you more. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult. Now, exercising it is not always so easy. Sing that chorus one more time. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would speak to the student body. I pray that you'd help them to love you more, Father. What a wonderful privilege we have to be your children. And Father, I feel that we don't exercise our love for you like we should. Oh, we have our own pursuits in life, our own purposes. But help us to break it down and understand that if we don't love you like we should, oh, we're missing out on the greatest of all blessings and the greatest commandment. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray.